الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن الناس من يشتري لهو الحديث ليضل عن سبيل الله بغير علم ويتخذها هزوا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
My respected elders and brothers, when Shaitan disobeyed Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the skies and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala took him out of Jannah, then at that time Shaitan asked, and he made a dua to Allah Ta'ala, Rabbi anzirni ila yawm yub'asun. Oh Allah, give me respite till the day of Qiyamah, that because of Adam alayhi salam, for whom I was thrown out of Jannah, I want respite till the day of Qiyamah so I can misguide all his children. And like how I have to go to Jahannam, I'll take them all with me into Jahannam. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala told him, إِلَى يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ. Fair enough, I accept your dua till the day of Qiyamah. You will be given respite. So then he took a qasam and he said, فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I take an oath in your izzat and your jalal and your greatness, O Allah. I will misguide every one of them. And Shaitan from that day has tried very hard to misguide insan and take them away from the Sirat-i-Mustaqim. But of course Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave him many limitations. When the month of Ramadan comes, Shaitan is bundled up in chains and is thrown in the bottom of the ocean. Then when this Mubarak month comes, you cannot come and disturb my bandas. If a Muslim recites Ayatul Kursi in his house, Shaitan cannot enter that house. If he reads Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah and he leaves his house, Shaitan can't trouble him outside his house. When the azan is called for salah, then Shaitan has to run far away from the masjid. That now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bandas are coming to the masjid, he must not come and trouble them whilst they're in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala gave him a lot of limitations. And with all the limitations, there were times, there were places where he couldn't work. And from long he's been thinking of something, that I need to misguide them, whether he's in a masjid, whether he's out of the masjid. Whether it's the month of Ramadan, whether it's out of the month of Ramadan, whether he's in Makkah Mukarrama or he's in Medina Munawwara. But this insan, I'm misguiding whether I'm there or I'm not there. At the end of the second millennium, Shaitan perfected that device in the form of a cell phone, call it a hell phone. Where this device will be with insan wherever he is. And it will misguide him wherever he may be. In the month of Ramadan, out of the month of Ramadan. In the masjid, out of the masjid. In the recesses of his home, whilst he's making tawaf of the Baytullah, he's standing in front of the Rosa Mubarak and conveying salam to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this hell phone will take him to hell wherever he is. Such corruption, such kind of evil this thing will penetrate. The Shaitan also thinks, perhaps I can't do such evil that this thing has done. It will create havoc in communities. It will break up marriages. It will disrupt the whole community. It will create lewdness in the hearts of innocent people. It will break up the moral fabric of insan. The haya that Allah has given him, it will destroy it. It will engage every limb of his in guna and sin. His eyes will be in sin. His ears will be in sin. His hands will be in sin. His heart will be in sin. This is the device that he has created that is in the pockets and is near every single person. Whilst we all may agree that the phone may have a lot of benefits, we have to also agree that the harms in this thing far outweigh the benefits that it has. And amongst the evils that the phone has, the first thing that I'm going to speak about today is the evil of cell phone addiction, where people have become addicted to their phones. We've heard of drug addiction. We've heard of alcohol addiction. And like a drug addict, when you speak to him and tell him, you know, you're addicted to this thing, he goes into denial. He says, I'm not addicted to it. I just use it for that certain time. But I can do without it. A cell phone addict also will go into denial. And he says, I've got total control of it. I'm not addicted to it. Yet you see a person, the last thing he does before he sleeps at night is he's with his phone. The first thing he does when he wakes up in the morning is he's looking at his phone. Sometimes a musalli in a masjid, in the house of Allah, while the iqamat is being called out, he's still busy with his phone checking his messages. The imam says, Allahu Akbar. At that time he puts his phone in his pocket and he starts his salah. The moment the imam says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, the phone is out of his pocket again, he's checking his messages. Addicted to the phone. Day and night a person can't leave his phone. Cell phone addiction. That we can't leave our phones. A person can be in a bayan. A big istima is taking place. Great ulama have come from foreign countries. The bayan is taking place from the stage. Just look around the crowd and see how many people are busy with their phones while the bayan is being taken. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being mentioned. That at that time also a person is busy with his phone. A janazah is brought in front. The greatest reminder of death. A greatest reminder of death is in front of us. A person is in a qabristan and a person is being buried. At that time also that phone is not left. Why? Addicted to the phone. Cell phone addiction. A person can't leave his phone no matter what condition he is. We are coming out of the Haram Sharif in Medina Munawwara. At the entrance of Babi Umar, there's two security guards that are there. Their work is to check who is coming in and who is leaving the Haram Sharif. At such a strategic place of the Haram, both of them stuck on their phones, oblivious of who's coming in and who's going out of the Haram. So much addicted to the phone. Teachers in the school, ustads in the madrasa, people in their workplaces, major problem is the phone. They can't leave the phone. They're stuck to the phone. Sometimes it's an old person. Person is now reaching the end of his life. As they say, the one leg is already in the grave. But the person is so stuck to the phone. At a time when our ta'alluq is now supposed to be the strongest with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, shaitan has brought this device to turn us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet the person will still go into denial. And you ask him, Haji sahab, you know, at this age now you're still with the phone. He said, I'm reading hadiths on the phone. Are we bluffing ourselves, my brothers? Ask ourselves how much Quran we've read for the day, how much zikr askar we've made. There were times when people used to be busy with the tilawat of the Quran and Kareem. People used to be busy with zikr askar. But the cell phone has now taken that place. And a person is busy with his messages, social media, what he's reading on the phone. So this is the first thing that we have to try and see, that are we addicted to the phone or not? Have we become a problem with the cell phone addiction? Has it grabbed our heart, gripped our heart so much that we can't leave it in under any circumstance? A second problem that is with regards to the phone is a problem with music. Whilst you'll find many people with the earphones in their ears, and on the media players, they're listening to different kinds of music, there's one major problem with the musical ringtones on the phone. That a person is putting a ringtone with music on the phone, and every time his phone rings, he's engaging himself in guna, and he's engaging everybody around him in sin and guna as well. A ringtone is to alert you that the phone is ringing. We don't have to put a musical ring on that phone. I see my uncle, Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahab, one day somebody's phone was ringing, and that thing had a musical ring on it. Sub nicely told him, you know, that's haram. It's not permissible for you to read. Lend me your phone. He took the phone, went on the settings and changed the ringtone immediately. If we got that kind of ta'alluq with people around us, and we got that kind of a relationship, we can have that heart. After all, we that ummah of Amar bil Ma'ruf Nahi Anil Munkar, to enjoin the good and prohibit the evil, to stop a person from listening to that musical tune. Tell him, Haji Sahib, this is not right, it's not permissible. Our imam is at least... I was sent to destroy musical instruments. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, I was sent to destroy musical instruments in the Haram Sharif of Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara. The sanctity of the Haram is destroyed with the musical rings that are going. Right in front of the Rosa Mubarak of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who mentioned these words that I have been sent to destroy these musical instruments. Here the phone is ringing right in front. Musical ringtones. A person is destroying his iman, is destroying the iman of everyone around him. Somebody asked one day, what if I put the azan as a ringtone? I put the azan as a ringtone. The name of Allah is too great to put as a ringtone. Allah Ta'ala's name is not meant for this. And if the phone rings in the toilet, how much of disrespect to the name of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Just a simple ringtone to alert a person that this phone is ringing. More than that, person shouldn't put any ring or any zikr of Allah, or you shouldn't put any music on his phone. Sometimes it happens also when you phone a certain company and they put you on hold, then there's music that is on the phone. If it's a Muslim company, then Muslim company is responsible for putting you in guna. If it's a non-Muslim, it's a non-Muslim firm and there's music on the phone, our duty is at that time to distance the phone from our ear and at that time to recite istighfar, astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah, not to take lust and to take excitement from the music that is playing on that phone. Musical ringtones on the phone. The third problem with the phone you'll find is the problem of photography and taking photos. Where a person freely is taking photographs everywhere he goes, of his children, of himself, selfies. A person taking a photograph of himself, self-recognition, self-admiration. Person is so thrilled with himself, he needs to take a photo of himself wherever he goes and put it up on his status to show the whole world what. A person is engaging himself in guna and sin. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ashadu nasi adaban yom al qiyamati al musawwirun." Those with the worst punishment on the day of qiyamah will be those people who took photos. It will be told to them that this photo that you took, now bring life to it, give it life. La'anatullahi ala al-musawwirin. Allah's curse on those people who take photos. That a person feels nothing about it. To take a photo of himself, to take a photo of his children, to take a photo of his wife, and put it up on his status for the whole world to see. Allah save us, Allah protect us. Allah give us a true understanding. Indeed, there's something that's called sadqah jariyah. Sadqah jariyah is where you do a good deed, and that good deed passes on to others. And every person who practices on that good deed, you get the sawab for it. You taught somebody how to recite Surah Fatiha. That person learnt it, and he taught it to others. Every other person who he taught it to, and that person reads Surah Fatiha, you'll get the sawab of that Surah Fatiha. But there's something that's called gunah jariyah also. Where you took a photograph of somebody and you passed it on social media. Everyone who sees that photo, the guna is on your head. Because you passed it on to others. Something that was haram, impermissible. There was a time when the Tabligh Jamaat effort started in the 60s, in the 70s. Many people changed their lives. There were people who had albums of photos. Their school photos, their wedding photos, their honeymoon photos. They had all of this. A realization came in their hearts that what I'm doing is wrong. They took all of that and they burnt it. They tore it to pieces. They said, my ta'alluq with Allah mustn't be destroyed. When I go in my qabr and I go in my grave, I want to go clear. I don't want to have this here causing problems for me in my grave. They tore all of that. They threw it away. Why? Because their relationship with Allah meant something to them. The iman was something that was very valuable to them. They destroyed all of that. If our iman means anything to us. Respected elders and brothers, let's take that courage. We open our phone and all those photos, we delete it. We delete it that this... I can't have this with me. My relationship with my Allah is too valuable. I cannot have all these photographs with me. Delete it. A person's relationship with Allah, his iman, his ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This problem of photography, person is watching, he's taking, he's passing it on. The third problem when it comes to, or the fourth problem with regards to the cell phone is watching videos on the phone. Person feels nothing to himself that he opens a video and he's sitting and watching a movie on his phone. As I mentioned, the time came when the Jamaat started working in the 60s and the 70s. People had that himmat. They said, the shaitan box in our house, we're throwing it out. They got rid of it from their homes. They said, this is the thing that is stopping the malaika from coming into our houses. They threw that thing out. They realized the evil of it. Now the shaitan box is in a pocket. A person is watching a video. Whenever he wants, he opens that thing, he's watching. He's looking, he's reading. And he's seeing all the videos that are there. Sometimes the person says, Mama, it's only a cooking video. But the person is there. See, no, the person is not there. But the music is there. See, I put the music off. Oh, but the hands that are making that thing, is it a man's hand or is it a woman's hand? If it's a man's hand, your wife can't look at it. If it's a woman's hand, you can't look at it. The person is watching videos. He's watching videos. And then from there, it doesn't stop. Then it goes to pornography. How many of our Muslim youth are stuck onto pornography? They're watching it day in, day out. Ask ourselves, how many of us got involved in this guna of pornography? Sometimes maybe it just came up as a pop-up. But we saw it. Did it affect our iman? Did it affect our hearts? A few weeks ago, I gave one bayan in one high school. Four youngsters came to me after the Jummah talk. They said, Maulana, we got a problem. We're addicted to pornography. We can't sleep if we don't look at this thing. How many of our children who have phones with them, are we sure that they're not on all of this? It's something for us to be concerned about as parents. What our children are doing? What sites are they going on? What are they looking at? This thing is causing havoc in Muslim marriages. Women are complaining every other day, my husband can't stop looking at porn. Remember, for many of us, that smartphone is not a good thing. If a person doesn't have that brakes where he can hold himself back, it's better he do without it. Otherwise, it's going to destroy him, it's going to destroy his home, it's going to destroy his family, it's going to destroy his iman. The fifth problem with this thing is the problem of social media. Whether it's WhatsApp, or whether it's Instagram, or it's Facebook. The different problems that people have today with social media. The first thing is how much of time goes in this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes qasam on time. So valuable is time. That one second, if a person on that side of the world is given, he'll say, I want 1 second if I can come back and say subhanallah once. Hours and hours of our time is going in social media. So much of time is being lost in this. And then together with that, you'll find the problem of passing on information without verifying. Sometimes it's lies, sometimes it's gossip, sometimes it's even slander. That we're passing on information without verifying our information. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. First verify your information before you pass on. Before we just press that button and pass on information, check whether this information is correct or not. In this, am I going to destroy the integrity of an innocent Muslim or not? How many times we find that this problem is just growing? There's news that has just become viral, but that news is incorrect. And sometimes we are responsible for passing that message on. Social media. One doctor was telling me, he was saying that 70% of the young girls that he's seeing in his surgery are suffering from depression because of social media. To him, doctor explained. He says everybody on Instagram is posting their posts. Someone is holiday time, someone is in Cape Town, someone in Joburg, someone is eating in this restaurant, so he has to put the food there. He has to put the food on, and he has to put his hotel there, and he has to put this. So while they look at all the posts of everyone else, they think, what beautiful lives these people have. What a terrible life I got. It ends up making na shukri of the life that Allah has given them. Most of them end up in depression. They look at the lives of everybody else around in this world, how they are enjoying themselves, and how we are. And then they start complaining to their parents. What can you do? You're not taking us for holiday. Everybody is gone for holiday. We're sitting here at home. There's nothing for us to do. Why? Because they're stuck to their social media. They're looking at all of that. How many people can say that they went on Instagram and they haven't seen the picture of a woman or a scantily dressed woman? Is this not destroying our iman? Is it not affecting our iman in any way? Simple thing like a cooking group. People are sharing recipes, posting. One woman says, for years, I used to cook delicious meals for my husband and my children. With this niyat that my husband will enjoy. says, now my whole intention has changed. When I wake up in the morning, I think, what can I cook that will impress the other 150 women on this cooking group? That I can take it and post those pictures of that food. They all will get thrilled with it. And then I wait to see who will comment on it. And those women who comment on my cooking, I get excited about it. And those women who don't comment on my cooking, I get upset that why they're not commenting on my cooking. Simple thing like a cooking group, but how much of evil can come out of it? The thing is, are we ready for this? Is it affecting our iman? Is it not affecting our iman? Illicit relationships that are taking place on this. My respected elders and friends, Allah give us the tawfiq that we can control this thing. It's there in our pockets, it's in our lives. Everyone has it with them. The question is, are we controlling it or not? For a start, at least the masjid, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us try and look after the house. When you come into the masjid, try and leave the phone at home or leave it in a car. Or if you bring it, put it on silent. Let us not disrupt the sanctity of the masjid. A person doesn't need to look at his phone while he's in the masjid. This time is for Allah. This time is for us to dedicate to our Rabb. Few minutes that we come in the masjid, let it be for Allah ta'ala alone. A person is not looking at his phone in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if perchance the phone rings, and a person is putting it off immediately, he's not answering his phone or looking at his messages in the masjid. He's looking after the sanctity of the masjid. And then those who have it with them, to see the controls, we're putting the controls in place. Whether it's for our children, whether it's for our wives, whether it's for ourselves. Whether we got this thing under control or not. Is it destroying our iman or not destroying our iman? For the first step, if we ever went on a porn site, or we used it incorrectly, or we did something wrong with the phone, at least have the heart to make tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. Say, Allah Ta'ala, what I did was wrong. Allah Ta'ala, what I did was wrong, I'm asking for forgiveness for this. Allah Ta'ala, in future I won't do it again. And we give ourselves one chance. We give ourselves one chance. If once we went onto the wrong site and we saw something, then that is not for us. If our iman really means anything to us, and our ta'alluq with Allah means anything to us, then we have to put that break somewhere. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, protect us from the evil of the cell phone. Those of us who have it and are using it, to use it in a way that will only bring the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala and not the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq.